Blog Talk Radio.
Many are going through because they don't understand
the importance of what God has given. Faith, trust, so much. He's given gifts, yeah, promises. Oh, he's given us so much. We just have to take the advantage of what he has given us. Yeah, take advantage of it. Oh, yeah, use it. Apply it. Yeah, daily. Hallelujah. He's that kind of God. And sometimes we're going through trials because this is a suffering way. It's not easy all the time. And you can ask Daniel about it. You can ask Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You can ask them about it. Go and ask Jesus about it. It's a suffering way. Yeah. Ask Apostle Paul. Ask Peter. And those boys, ask them about it. Yeah, every day will not be Sunday. Sabbath will have no end because there are things we go through. And everything that we basically go through, it's a trial. But many people get caught up into their flesh. And they're feeling this fleshly. They're thinking this fleshly. They haven't allowed themselves to use the Spirit of God. Let the word do the work. The word of God will do the work for you because we're standing on his word. And after standing, we're going to stand some more on his word because it's a sure foundation. It won't give in. It won't cave in. Hallelujah. His word is going to do what he set out for it to do. Yeah. It won't return back to him void. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I'm grateful unto him this morning. Thank God for another Thursday morning. We coming into the weekend. Hallelujah. And I'm grateful unto him. I appreciate him and I love him today because it was him that first loved me. Yeah, it was him that decided to make me for his pleasure. And so I'm excited right there. Amen goes right there. Thank you, Jesus. And so, you know, I'm thinking on things, how God moves and how he's always there for us. And, you know, sometimes we just want what we want, and we just can't get over the fact that we are not getting what we want. But it's a trial. If there's something you're truly desiring and you prayed about it and God has not moved upon it yet, he has not given that to you yet, let it go. Don't you make it a trial. Let God bring trials. Don't you make it a trial because you're just getting yourself deeper and deeper into trouble. Next thing you're talking all out of your head because you lost your mind over it. There's nothing worth losing your mind over. Let this mind be in us that was also in Christ Jesus. He only wanted to please the Father. He only wanted to do the will of the Father. He told him that. I come, hallelujah, to do the will of him that sent me. Who sent him? The Father. Yeah, and it's a good thing. Sent him as he come. At first he was the Word. God made the word flesh and allowed him to dwell among men. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, for those that know Evangelist Jerry House, I know Louie know him. He got married yesterday. He went on and married 10. We call it 10-10. So he went on and married 10 yesterday. And I think 10 is from the Philippines. And so they got married last night, I think it was. And then he posted it this morning over on Facebook. But he called me yesterday, and he called me to talk to me about the church and these new places that he's getting to go because he's retiring very soon from truck driving. And once he retired, he's going into full-time ministry. And he invited me to come over and be a part of this huge thing they have going on. And so I was grateful for that he even thought about me. He said, "Woman of God, you know I can't forget you. I can never forget you because, you know, when I would come to you," I said, "and I understand. And I thank you for that. I thank you for not forgetting it." So I got a hold of Robin Lynn Maben yesterday and talked with her about it. And she's going to help me to put Jesus in the Morning over there. And that way, you know, we'll start getting more callers and more listeners. And so it's got to be done God's way, because I can't just get people here. God have to send who he want here. And those that he send, they stay. Yeah. Those that he send, they listen in the archives every day, a lot of them. And some of them listen to yesterday's show today. And tomorrow they listen to today's show. Yeah, they have a way that they do it. And back in the day, women used to tell me, I come home from work, kick them shoes off, run and put my house clothes on, and I start my dinner listening to Jesus in the Morning. I thought that was funny. Yeah, so many who listen in the archives, yeah, I want you to know you are a real blessing. You are a real blessing. And I thank God for you. And I know there are many out there who don't agree with everything I say. Yeah, they don't agree. But one thing about it, I looked at, I think it was Peter and John, Brother Louis, who went over and healed the man, told him, silver and gold have I none, but rise and walk in the name of Jesus. I think those two were having some problems. They didn't agree on everything. And eventually, I believe, one had to go with someone else this way and the other one had to go with someone else that way. Yeah. Nobody was wrong in what they were saying. It was the way that it was said. And so they didn't agree. And they had to separate. And that's all right. That's all right. Because the way that I know God is different in a lot of ways that you know him. Yeah. I know him as a healer. On certain things. You know him as a healer on certain things, but it's not the same thing. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know him as a heavy load bearer. Yeah. But see, it's not the same heavy load. Your load is different from mine. Many members, one body. One body. But we agree on this one thing. God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten son, that whoever believe on him won't perish, but have everlasting life. Yeah. We come into agreement on this. Jesus is, the way, the truth, and the life. We come together on that. Now, we may not come together on other things, because I see so many people who have not been taught the truth. They're not taught faith. It's like I can do what I want to do, and when I decide to pray, I can pray. I don't have to pray every day. I don't have to obey the word of God every day. I don't have to get in the word of God every day. All I do is when I need something, I go to God. That is so far from the truth until I don't know what else to tell him. It's very far from the truth. Yeah. We have to stay with God. We have to make our calling and election sure with him daily. Yeah, we have to stay on that straight and narrow daily. His word even says, and you'll often hear me say this, and I do love it. I do love it. If we'll keep our mind on him, he will keep us in perfect peace. So now, if you're not praying, if you're not focused, if you don't know what the word says concerning you, then I don't know how you stand with God, because whenever you want to, you can cuss. Whenever you want to, you can fornicate. Whenever you want to, you can lie, cheat, or steal. You can do anything you want to do because you're not allowing God to lead and guide. You're trying to control things, and that will not work. I can tell you it won't work. It'll work for a little while, but then you'll find yourself back in your flesh. Yeah, you won't find yourself obeying the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit, that you don't fulfill the lust of your flesh. And it don't always mean fornicate. There are other things that we do, you know. There are other lusts in our hearts we have. Yeah. Some people lust for money, lust for a car, lust for a home. It's different things. But when we learn to let go, let it go, let it go. If you take it to God in prayer, he heard you the first time. I promise you he heard you. And give God a chance, have some patience, and give God time, because he's working some things out. And especially if we're dealing with people, if it's something concerning another human being, give God a chance, please. Give him some time to work it out, because he won't just come in and force a will. What he will do, he will allow things to cause you to change your mind. We look back at Jonah. He didn't force Jonah. He just brought events up that would change Jonah's mind. He didn't change Jonah's mind. Jonah changed his own mind after being in the whale belly or the big fish belly for a while. Yeah, he got tired of that real quick. Yeah, I would too. Seaweed and it's smelly down there and wet and damp. Oh no, I would have got real sick of that real quick. And he knew why. See, he knew why he was in the belly of the whale or the big fish. He was disobedient. Yeah. And he did not want to go over to Nineveh and obey God, because he felt like they're using you. You don't see how they treating you over there? They don't care nothing about you or your word, your statutes, your commandments. They don't care nothing about that. And you want me to go and give them a word from you? Jonah caught the boat. Ooh, Jonah was headed to Nineveh, he thought. And God called the wind. He made the sea get angry and violent. Even the captain of the boat said, wait a minute here. Somebody on here sin in this camp. Somebody on here not right. We never had these problems before. He went around to everybody, pray to your God. And somebody told him, hey, look, you got one down in the bottom of the ship down there, you know, he's down there asleep. He went down there and woke him up. How can you sleep like this, man, and we in this bad storm? Because Jonah thought he was scot-free. See, he had peace then. I don't have to go to Nineveh now. I don't have to do this and that. And he had peace, so he went on to sleep. The man went down there and asked him, well, who is your God? He told him, look, my God is this and that, and I don't have to call on him. He already know I'm trying to run, and I'm hiding. I think I'm hiding, because God knew right where he was. Yeah. And so a lot of times that's our case. We won't do what God will have us to do, but we'll be out here with all this voice. We'll honor God with our lips, but our heart is far from it. It's lip service. And God don't just deal with lips. He deal with the heart. That's his main thing. What's in our heart is what he deals with. Who are you and what you really are? Because he said this. He wouldn't always strive with man, because man was evil and man could not do evil enough. So God deal with your heart. And he knows the very intent. And so he's looking for some willing soldiers. He's looking for some people who will be faithful to him daily, who will obey him daily and won't forget him, and won't forget his statutes, his word. Yeah. But I see a lot of that, and people don't even understand, and they quickly say, oh, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a believer. Well, what you believe? What do you believe? Because, see, I believe I'm Barbara. And I'm going to take care of Barbara. I'm going to eat. I'm going to sleep. You know, I'm going to shower. I'm going to go to the doctor, do checkups, different things. Because I'm Barbara. What you believe is what you're going to do. Yeah. And who you love is going to show daily. If you love God, it's going to show. If you like him, it's going to show. And many like him, but they don't love him. Many are looking for him to be faithful to them, but they will not be faithful to him. It's like they say, oh, he's God. He got it made, you know. he understands. And that's the problem. He really does understand. I've heard people say, don't judge me. God know my heart. And what they really didn't understand, he knew the very intent of their hearts. They thought they were saying something. Yeah. So, you know, I'm trying to get the words faith, trust, and work out more and more and more and more so that people can be saved. And not just saved from hell, but saved from the things of this old world. Saved from the things that's causing them to fall, to stay down when they can be up. Because many think they are in control. We're not in control. God is. He made again today the heavens and the earth. Yeah, so we have to look to him. This morning we are going in to hear Bishop E. Dewey Smith, and his message today is overcoming the silence of heaven. Overcoming the silence of heaven. I wanted to talk a little bit about victory is mine. Victory, you heard the songwriter say, victory today is mine. Yeah. No matter what situation come our way, if we'll run to God, he's able to make us victorious. Oh, I know it feel bad, you know, and you want it so different. But if God does not change it, it will remain the same. But don't give up on God because the situation remained the same. In his perfect timing, he's come and he's going to fix that for you. Because a lot of times when we in bad situations, what happened is this, we remain humble. Yeah. When we don't have money, we stand in need of this, we are humble. Down in the valley, we are humble. As soon as God began to bring us up to the top of the mountain, we start showing out. We start acting as if we got the power, as if we brought ourselves out of the valley. You didn't. He did. So a lot of times God allows us to stay there. And some people pray, well, Lord, why am I here? Why am I going through this? When things begin to happen, I don't go with why. I tell myself, this must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone, and I know there's a cross for me. Yeah, I was praying too. I said, Lord, I need more money because I'm trying to get some things done. You know what I heard? Wait on the Lord. Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I immediately went back in and rescheduled some appointments for a later day. Yeah, because it's nothing I can do. I can't do nothing until he comes. And even as I'm speaking, he's opening doors and making ways for me, even as I'm speaking. I said I needed more money. I believe he's even working that out in his own way because he knows what's best for me. Yeah. So I learned to have patience, to wait on him. Everything is not instant. Everything is not overnight. Some things we have to wait for. And while I'm waiting, I'm praying for the lesson out of that. Which lesson is this? Patience. That's what that represents for me. Wait on me. Be of good courage. I'm going to strengthen your heart. And the way he's going to strengthen my heart is he's going to give me what I ask for at the perfect time. Not in my timing, but his perfect timing. Because when it comes, it's going to be right there at a great need. I'm going to really need it then. And it also takes me back to God's supplied need, according to his riches and glory by his son, Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. You can't beat him. You can't beat him. You can't beat him given. You can't beat him in the blessing business. He'll give us favor. Favor. I walked in places and people just turned around with a nice smile at me on their face. Favor. I'm sure had I asked for something, everybody in there would have seen if they had what I asked for. Favor, favor. Hallelujah. So look, I wanted to read this one right quick this morning, and then we're moving on in prayer. And then when we come back from prayer, one more song, and then we're coming in with Pastor Edui Smith. Listen, I was looking over at 1 John, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse. And that's what Edui Smith going to talk about, overcoming as well. But for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. It overcometh the world. See, we might have something that we really, really want, a great desire. And it's just gnawing at us. I mean, you know you're going to get it, but it's just gnawing at you. There's some things you're not sure because all these obstacles are in your way. It's what you feel. Oh, my credit bad. See, you want the big Bentley. You want the big Mercedes. But my credit bad. I don't make enough on the job. It is just one obstacle after another around the situation of you wanting that Bentley. And so you're looking at it, and men speak negative, and they tell themselves, oh, I won't be able to get that. I may as well settle for a Ford. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. I don't care what the enemy brings. Oh, they say they're going to give me my walking papers. They're going to give me the pink slip on the job. But see, I have the victory. Victory is mine. I've already overcome the world because he overcame the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Huh? I preach it every day. I teach it every day. I share it every day. I talk it every day. The main key with God is faith. We must believe. It don't say you can if you want to. You should believe. It's okay if you do believe. Now, he said, those of us that come to him, we must believe that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. You want to be in? Diligently seek God. Seek his word. Put his word into action, which means to apply that word to your everyday life. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Faith will make you overcome those obstacles. Faith will make you overcome that pink slip they're talking about writing you on the job and giving you your walking papers. Faith will overcome for you when mom pass away, when dad pass away. When you're battling with your house payment, your mortgage payment, your rent payment, did he not open the door through the stimulus? Many were suffering. The people of God, we can see God made a way. It's not that the government had so much love for us. It's not that the president had so much love for us. But at that time, God gave us favor with whoever was in charge. Overcome. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We've already won the battle. It's already won because we got the great army fighting for us. We have the great God that have all the power. He can send one Michael, that fighting angel, to fight for us. And we'll just walk right in there, overcome it all. Some things we tarry with, God allows to tarry with it, which means we're waiting and we're toiling with it and we're going through with it. During those times, we remain humble. And how many know all before when everything was good, they was running the race and not with patience? They was running it like microwave. Push, push, push. They was running it like a remote control. Click, click, click. They was running it like they was on a computer, just hidden keys. Never stopped to pray right. Never stopped to study right. Oh, they went to church. Oh, they talked about God. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power thereof. But when trouble came, they stopped themselves. God didn't have to stop them. When God allowed that trouble to come, oh, no, 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 they took time then. They took time to pray. They took time to read the Bible, study the Bible. They took time to hear from God. They took time to worship God in their own home. Why? Trouble has arisen. And what happened before? They was microwaving. They was click, click, clicking, remote controlling. They was on a computer. Delete, 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 send, log in. Oh, they had it going on until trouble come. Today we don't want trouble to come before we have patience and time to spend with God. We want to make this a daily thing because we have the victory. Some people going through bad with the victory. They have the victory, but they can't see victory. They can't let God bring them into a victorious state because they're too busy fighting with the situation. They just cannot let it go. If you believe God is the true God of heaven and earth, and if you believe that he have all power, and if you believe that God truly loves you, let it go. You haven't died yet. You've gone through some worse situations. Somebody had to have a major operation. And your chances were slim. You didn't even know your chances were slim, but God brought you out because you prayed. Lord, I'm going in, but God guide the surgeon's hand. And Lord, touch and heal my body. Lord, bring me out. You come out victorious. Oh, you had some stitches. Oh, you were sore for a few minutes. Oh, you didn't walk normal. But as the days went by, God continued to allow your body to heal. And now you're better than you was before you went into surgery. See, this is what I'm saying. We talk a good game. But do we really believe God? Do we really trust God? Do we believe that we are overcomers? Do we believe that we are victorious? Do we really have faith? Verse 5 said, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? My goodness, from Zion. Because we say we believe that, but we don't. See, we say one thing, but our actions show another. Today, we are overcomers. We are victorious. We overcome the world. He said he overcame the world, and we will too. Look what it says in verse 6, and we're going to pray. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is true. Oh, I just got to go down to 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Look what it said. Now, it didn't say the Son, but we know the Son is the Word. We know Jesus is still the Word. He says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. I just got to go down just a little bit further, okay? And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. My goodness. Remember, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus asked him, well, can I enter my mother's womb a second time? He told him, no. But you must be born of the water and the Spirit. Remember that? And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Verse 9 says, if ye receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Huh? How many of them believe what the boss said? How many of them believe what mama said, daddy said? We heard Jerry say yesterday, she heard what her mama said, she believed it, and she put it to the test when the time came. How many of us believe what people say over God? And God, the witness of God is greater. Why? He's got all power. Why? His eyes are in every place beholding the evil and the good. Why? He sleeps not slumber. Why? The earth is his, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. The witness of God is greater. What God says is more of a truth than any man. He even told us, don't put your trust in man. We got to only trust him. For this is the witness of God which he has testified of his son. Yeah, because the witness of Jesus is much greater. Who loved us like that? Who loves us like that today? Nobody. But Sean Mitchell said, he searched all over, he couldn't find nobody. Nobody greater. Nobody greater than Almighty God. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Ooh, look at this. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. See, I can testify. You hear it all the time. Because I believed on the Son of God, Jesus. Today I have testimony after testimony, and it's not what the preacher told me. It's not what the Sunday school teacher taught me. It's not because I was over at the AME church, the CME church. I went over to the Church of Christ. I went to the Jehovah Witnesses. I went over to, none of that. I have the witness in me. I experienced it live for myself. Yeah. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. He that believeth not, God has made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. I'm going to go one more. I'm going to at least go one more to 11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Ooh, I could read on and on and on and on and on and on. I got to get into a sniffing here. But these things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He heareth us. If we ask according to his will, he said, for he is love. He loves a cheerful giver. He said to love one another. And if we feel like we don't have the love, if we go to him, guess what? He's going to give it to us. Ooh, look at this. And this is the confidence. See, you got to be confident. You got to have faith and trust God and knowing for yourself that we have in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. He don't just hear anything. He's not just going to answer anything. This telling us right here in 14. And if we know that he hear us whatsoever we ask, we know that he will, that we have the petition that we desire of him. I'm going to God for my stuff, okay? I'm not asking man for my stuff. I'm asking God. He's the author and finisher of my faith. I need more faith. I'm asking God. And being prepared for the trial that's coming to give me faith. I need more love. I'm going to ask God for more love according to his word. See, his will. According to his word and prepare myself for the trials that's coming to give me love. If I ask for patience, I'm going to ask God for patience and prepare for the trial that's coming my way that's going to give me patience. Because when you ask for it, you're going to go through the lesson that's going to teach you how to have patience. Oh, yeah. I'm not telling you what the Sunday school teacher taught me or the preacher. I'm telling you from experience. Hallelujah. But we got to get there. We have got to get there. Hallelujah. Got to get there. Not just because of stuff and things. But we want to please God just like Jesus did. Look what he did. Look at it. He didn't go out by the cross. They nailed him to it. He didn't say, I will suffer. He went on and suffered. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Listen, we're going to one song of the morning first. And thank you, Brother Lewis, for posting script. And when we come back, we're coming back with our morning prayer. And after morning prayer, we're going in with Pastor E. Dewey Smith this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank God today. He's on our side in spite of us. Yeah, he's for us today. And if he be for us, he's more than the whole world against us. Thank you, Jesus. fall down. Oh, I love that. I love that. Mr. Luther Barnes, Holy Spirit falls on me. Fall down. A spirit fall down. That's the name of that one, Mr. Luther Barnes. And I do like it a whole lot. And listen, remember I said yesterday I would check on Brother Perry. And so I looked for him on Facebook. I could not find him. I said, where's Brother Perry? And I remembered I had gotten an email from him last year. I said, let me go to this email and write him and see if I can get something from him. And so he wrote me back. And I told him to send me a picture. Because I was looking for him on Facebook, and I seen some George West Perrys, but it wasn't him. And so I wanted to make sure. So he sent me the picture, and he said, yeah, I closed my Facebook page down. He said, but I don't mind sending you the picture. And so evidently he's feeling okay. He's feeling okay. I'll assume, because he didn't tell me, you know, he was feeling bad or sick or anything. But I hadn't seen him or heard from him, so I wanted to check on him, you know. And that's what we do over here. We try and check on one another. I don't hear from you now. It's not that I'm trying to force you to come back, you know, back to Jesus in the morning. Nothing like that, but I know you usually come. And if I don't see you, then I need to find out why I'm not seeing you today, or a couple of days that went by and I don't see. And I know you usually come, you see. So, yeah, that's what that is. And I thank God for that. I thank God for that, because we love one another over here. And we may not have ever met one another or anything like that, but we are many members of this one body. And that body is taught to love one another. Arm, love your finger. Finger, love your hand, you see. Arm, love your wrist. Arm, love your shoulder, you know. So we love one another, and we want to keep up with one another, making sure everything is all right. Hallelujah. I got some money refunded yesterday to those who had donated to the 35 sewing machines. I was so happy about that. I didn't know what to do, but the guy that I was helping to raise the money for, he got a little upset because I ended the fundraiser and began to return the money back to whoever donated it. And so I can't help that, you know. And see, a lot of people don't understand. They don't understand this. If God show me something, I have to do it. I know you say you've been serving him 35 years. I know you went to seminary school. I know your parents taught you. But what I need you to learn is when God moves, you move just like that. Yeah, when God speaks, you move. You're not holding on to what you're talking about, because that won't do you any good. Yeah, that will not do you any good. So, you know, folk get upset and this and that. Well, you just have to be upset. I'm so sorry you upset, but I got to do what God will have me to do, you know. And so that's how I go. I got a request, and I have to play it, and I just saw it. Wait a minute. We moving on. I want to do your will. Okay. Oh, there it is, there it is. Oh, it's one of my favorites, too. We getting there, we getting there. Oh, I love this one right here, too. Yes, yes, yes. It's one of my favorites. But we're going to prayer, and after prayer, I know I said we're going right in with Pastor E. Dewey Smith, but I got this request, and it's a hot request, too. So I am going to play this one more request, then we're going right in with E. Dewey Smith. Yeah, and do it that way. But let's pray this morning, and we're praying that prayer of faith, because we realize it's the prayer of faith that makes us whole. And today we want to trust God. Y'all go over and look at 1 John, the 5th chapter. It's the last chapter of 1 John. Not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and St. John, but you're going over to 1st, 2nd, yeah, you're going over to those Johns, you know, over there by James. So look at chapter 5, and read on down through there. Yeah, it's going to bless you. That's all it's going to do. Yeah, is going to bless you. Let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, woo, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another Thursday morning. Lord, April the 29th, 2021. God, we've seen a many of April 29th, but not 2021. You have blessed us with another day. We thank you. We thank you for bringing us up until this present time in this week. Lord, you blessed us to come this far in this week. You've allowed it, and we thank you. We thank you. We can't tell you thank you enough. Father, we thank you for all you've done, what you're doing right now, and what you're going to do. We thank you this morning, for there's none like you, none who love us the way that you love us, none who care for us the way that you care. And, Father, we bow down in humbleness, bow down in worship, God. And we come boldly before your throne of grace to make our petition known unto you this morning. And, Father, we believe. So not only will you hear, but you will answer. And, Father, it's by faith we are asking these things. We believe that you're going to do it for us. Hallelujah. And we come this morning asking, Father, that you would bless every caller and every listener. Bless those that are coming through the archives and the podcasts. Father, we ask today that you would move for them and their families and their friends, for their households, oh God. Whatever they stand in the need of today, whatever their heart's desires is, according to your will, we ask this morning that you would move in a mighty way. And Lord, we ask that you move quickly, but we know that not our will must be done, but your will must be done. Move for your people. In the name of Jesus, we are asking. Father, those that are sick, we asking that you would heal their bodies today. Make them over again. Lord, give them a brand new mind to think about the things that they need to do. Help today, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Father, we bring those that are incarcerated, those that are in every branch of the military, widowers, bereaved families, intercessory prayer people, Israel and Jerusalem, Father, our brothers and sisters overseas. God, we ask that you would open every door for them and move in a mighty way for these your people. For many are suffering. Many don't know which way to go. They don't have it as we have it over here. Many don't have medical, oh God. Many don't have food, clothes, shelter even. But, Father, we know that you're able this morning, and we're counting on you. We're bringing our petition to you this morning concerning our brothers and sisters overseas and ask that you would do it for them in the name of Jesus. Father, we bring those that are in every branch of the military. Father, we bring America and the leadership of America before you this morning. And that, God, we all would bow down to you. Help us all to remember your word today. For your word is a lamp unto our feet if we can believe and obey, and a light unto our path. Or do it for us today, Father, in the name of Jesus. We know there's nothing too hard for you to do. Lord, you rose the wind and the sea up so that Jonah would obey. And Lord, raise up whatever it is that will cause all of us to obey today in the name of Jesus. Strengthen us, oh God. We ask that you would have your way here this morning. Move by your spirit and bless us, your people, through your word today. Father, we thank you. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. We ask it all again this morning in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I've seen some papers, and somebody finna sign something that's going to bless them. I couldn't see the words on the papers, but I know if a signature is required at the bottom, and I know this, I know that it's going to be a blessing unto whoever signed these papers. Ay, 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 today. Hallelujah, Jesus. Ay, ay. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Uh-huh. And we all can lift our hands and tell him thank you this morning. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, because he's blessing all of us this day, not with just the regular norm of the day, but God is adding some things to us today, and we're thankful unto him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Huh? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing for us right now, Lord. Thank you for opening doors and making ways for us. Ooh, thank you for your special blessings coming our way. We don't even deserve, but God, you yet sending these blessings in the natural to bless us. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I saw somebody getting a little more money. Yeah, I saw that too. Thank you, Jesus. I pick up on that money, they say. Thank you, Lord, for the extra finances. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you for the unexpected finances. Lord, thank you for the unexpected blessings. We give you glory. We give you honor and praise. And, Father, we ask it this morning in Jesus' name. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, God. Lord, you know today, God. You know my heart for your people. Bless them today, Lord Jesus. Open doors for them today. Give heart desires. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I can hear the phone ringing, too. Somebody getting good news. Hallelujah. Through the phone call today. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. I hear the phone ringing. I can hear it. Good news is coming your way in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, it's already done. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for our faith. Thank you for our trust in you. We thank you for your word this morning. Father, again, your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. It'll show us which way to go. Forever, oh God, that word is settled in heaven. And Lord, help us to apply it daily. Help us not to forget you daily. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Can't say thank you enough. Oh, bless your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, I'm going to this one. And when we come back, we're coming back with Pastor Edwin Smith. And his message this morning is overcoming the silence of heaven. Overcoming the silence of heaven. That's the message for today. Hallelujah. Let's take a listen to this. I love it. I'm going to do what you say.
Radio not just for your ears, but also for your spirit. Jesus in the Morning Radio. And you're with Barbara.
Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Ain't nothing like praising him, I can tell you that. When he gave you something, and you use what he gave you, even a song, do you know that will bless you thoroughly? That will bless you, bless you, bless you. That will cause you to get from one trial to the next trial, from one situation to the next situation. Because he put that in your spirit, because that's what's going to happen. Hallelujah. Oh, look at here. Because remember, I shared this, and we're going to Pastor E. Dewey Smith. We're going to him overcoming when heaven is silent, heaven silence. Listen, I can remember the pastor wife gave me a song. And this song during that time, it meant something to me because the pastor wife gave it to me, Sister William, Bernadette William. And she gave me the little cassette, I think it was, to play so that I could learn the words to the song. And the song was somewhat similar to this one, but it said that I want to live in the beauty of the Lord so that he can be pleased with me. I want to do his will, run this race until he called and beckons for me. Lord, prepare me for that kingdom. I want to be in that care forevermore, for I want to run this race. Yeah. Oh, I used to love that song, but then because I sang it, that's why, and the pastor wife gave it to me. But do you know that became a part of me, that song, and the words that it said became real in me? When God give you even a song, go ahead and sing it. Go ahead and use it, Andrea Spinner, because the song that he gave you is going to bless you, Sion. Ah, yes, it is. Yes, it is. Good morning, Brother Perry. God bless you this morning. I got my picture. I got my picture. I'm doing pretty good, brother. God bless you this morning. Glad you're feeling better and everything. We thank God for it. So listen, we're going in with Pastor E. Dewey Smith this morning and listen to the message of overcoming the silence of heaven. Let's take a listen.
The word I'm led to share with you today, it is recorded in the book of Psalms. We have one more Sunday perhaps in the Psalms. And there's a message God is given me for this occasion. It is recorded in the book of Psalms and the 22nd number of the Psalms. Psalm number 22 or Psalm selection 22. 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 And for the benefit of brevity, I want you to notice two verses with me, Psalm 22, verses 1 and 2, or Psalm 22, and it reads thusly, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. God bless you. You may be seated. What an intriguing passage of scripture. I want to read it again. I want you to read it along with me. Psalm number 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. Amen. I'm going to talk about this morning simply from this thought, overcoming the silence of heaven. Overcoming the silence of heaven. Overcoming the silence of heaven. My brothers and my sisters, there is a period that is in between the Old and New Testaments that is called the intertestamental period. It is a very unique dispensation. Even now, 2,000 plus years later, it is a very eerie season. This time is an eerie season because it lasted for 400 years. The interim in between the Old and New Testament. A 4 centuries long season. It is not eerie because of the number of years. It is not even eerie because there was a paradigm shift in Palestine that saw how Hebrew culture totally transformed to Greek culture, Greek language, Greek speaking, Hellenism it was called. But this 400-year period in between the Old and New Testament, it is an eerie dispensation, primarily because for the duration of this period, there was no inspired word from God. There was no theophany. There was no prophet, minor or major, who spoke a word on behalf of divinity. For 400 years, literally, the heavens shut up. For 400 years, there was no word from God. My sisters and my brothers, can you imagine life lived for 4 weeks without hearing from God? Can you imagine life lived for 4 months, for 4 years, without any direct contact or visitation from on high? Such was the primary characteristic of the intertestamental period, that God, because of the apostasy and hypocrisy of Israel, decided that he would no longer speak to them until he got ready to send forth his son Jesus in the fullness of time. What a blessing it is that God has allowed us to live in the 21st century. That we don't have to be the recipients of such a dreadful and a deplorable moment, a 400-year season when God is silent. However, my sisters and my brothers, although there are times that we can celebrate the fact that God has blessed us to live in 2007, there are precarious predicaments that will arise, that although we don't live in that intertestamental period, there are times that even right now, when it seems that even heaven may be silent in our individual walks with the Lord. My brothers and my sisters, has there ever been a moment in your life when you've called for God to intervene? Has there ever been a time in your life when you sought help from on high? And yet it seems that the answer to your prayers is so evasive and pervasive. My brothers and my sisters, have you ever really got on your knees and asked God to bring something into fruition in your pilgrimage only to discover that what you've been asking for never seems to come to realization? Recently, I found myself in that type of predicament when noticing the rapid decay of my baby brother's body, when seeing that death look in his eyes, I began to pray that God would touch my brother and give him long life and give him health and body. And when God decided to call my brother from labor to reward, it made me ponder that theme again. Well, God, did you really hear me praying? I was taught as a boy that if I would ask, it would be given. My Sunday school teachers told me with regularity that if I would seek, I'd find. And if I just would knock, that the door would be open. I was told that we have not because we ask not. I was told that we can always come boldly before his throne to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in our time of need. What happens when we've come boldly before the throne? What happens when we've asked? What happens when we've sought and not? But yet, it seems that heaven does not have one answer to your petition. And perhaps I'm speaking to some people in this room today, or those who watch me right now by television, who may not want to agree publicly, but privately you pondered that reality of this rather forbidding and foreboding analysis of the Christian condition. And that is it possible for me to pray and God never responds? Is it possible for me to ask God to give me a job and yet I still find myself jobless? Is it possible to ask God for a spouse but yet I'm still lonely? Is it possible to ask God for college tuition but yet it seems like the financial aid department has lost their last piece of everlasting mind? What happens when I've been asking and praying and seeming that the answer to my prayer is so evasive and so pervasive? Such is the case in our text this morning. For in all probability, David found himself in the wilderness of Maon as a fugitive fleeing for his life because of the assassination attempts of that first monarch of Israel's history by the name of Saul. David writes here, and his work is not only poetic, but it is deemed as being prophetic, in that Charles Spurgeon says, there's none like this psalm in all of the psalms. For David prophetically gives us a photograph of the Lord's saddest hours. That here, David writes from a poetic perspective for himself, but from a prophetic perspective for Christ. This psalm is so powerful that David is wondering, why does an anointed king find himself without any help or any answer from heaven? And so the words that he initiates this psalm with are the same words that Jesus uttered on the cross. David says, "My God, my God." He uses that word El, which was a Canaanite term that was used for the head of the Canaanite pantheon. It was a Canaanite phrase that David borrows from a poetic standpoint to lift God, Yahweh, over any of the monks of the Canaanite pantheon. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me? He says, God, I'm crying to you in the daytime, but yet you don't say a word. is not because I'm not anointed. You sent your son, you sent the prophet Samuel to my father's house, and the anointing oil would not pour on any of my older brothers. It poured on my head. I know you anointed me. It's not because you have not been with me. It was you who kept me out in my father's sheep pasture that day when the lion came to devour my father's sheep and the bear came to devour me. You gave me help from on high to kill the lion and the bear. You empowered me to kill that great Philistine giant from Gath by the name of Goliath. So there's no doubt about the fact that you're with me. God, I know you're with me. I know you've called. I know you've anointed me. But yet, why is it that I've called you and I can't hear a word in response? Is it because I lack faith? Is it because of my sin? What is it? David, in some type of hyperbolic prophecy, suggests that there are times in all of our lives when you may feel that heaven is silent. We pray for you to heal our land. We pray, we've been singing since we were kids, to bless America. We said that through song, God bless America. God, and the best you could do is Bush. Obviously, you must be silent. Let me ask you a question. Let me be real, man to man, man to woman, straight, straight. Have you ever wondered, did God really hear you at times? Have you ever gone through something that was so difficult and so debilitating that it made you wonder, is prayer really powerful? Does prayer really work? Have you ever prayed about something until you were blue in the face, but yet it seems that that answer still has not come yet? And the question I want to raise to you is this. What do you do in life when you find yourself dealing with the silence from heaven? What do you do when you ask God over and 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 over for one thing, and yet that one thing is so evasive and pervasive? It seems that heaven literally is silence. How do you overcome the silence of heaven? Are you interested? Well, I hope you're interested. If you're not, too bad. I'm going to preach this one for me. What do you do when there's no word from on high? There are four things I'm going to lift, and then I'll take my seat. My brothers and my sisters, whenever you've been talking to God and God has not been talking back to you, whenever it seems, my sister and my brother, to heaven inside, the first thing I want to tell you is this. You've got to decide to give the Father worship. I said, you've got to decide to give the Father worship. Look at verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me? And from the words of my roaring, oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. I cry in the night season, but I am not silent. I can't find rest. God, I've been crying. I've been praying. You're silent. I can't sleep. I'm upset. You're not talking back to me. But in spite of that, verse 3, but thou. I wish I had a Bible reader here. That's the problem with church folk. You don't know when they shout. But thou art holy. In other words, although I'm upset, although I can't hear from you, although you're not answering me, that still has nothing to do with the fact that you're still my pain has nothing to do with your position. I am frustrated. I don't understand. But guess what? You're holy. So I lift my hands even with unanswered prayer and just say one word. Holy. Is there anybody around this house, even when the heaven has been silent on you, you've made up in your mind that you're not going to look at God based on your circumstances, because although you're broke, he's not.
Although you're weak, he's not. Although you may be crying, he's still sovereign. And I've learned to say, you know what, praise is what I do. Even when I'm going through, I vow to praise you in the good or the bad, whether I'm happy or whether I'm sad. As a matter of fact, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I will bless the Lord at all times, that his praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Make a joyful noise, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God. Why don't you shake somebody's hand and say, he's still holy. He's still on the throne. He's still got the power. He's still worthy. Can anybody say, I still bless him? If he answers me, I praise him. If he's silent, I worship. If I'm crying, I lift my hand. He's worthy. Oh! Stop looking at your situation and start looking at him. Don't matter who's in the White House. He's still holy. The angels cast their crowns before the great white throne. You know what they cry, don't you? Holy. The hymn writer say, holy. Holy, holy. Lord God Almighty. Y'all don't feel it in me here. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy.
When heaven is silent, you got to decide to give the Father worship. You're holy. That's a term of worship. But not only are you holy, David says you inhabit the praises of your people. That means wherever praise goes forth. In Hebrew, it literally means God makes his throne on top of praise. He sits on top of wherever he finds praise. If you want God to sit on top of your home, if you want God to sit on top of your finances, I double dog dare you to lift up some praise. Because when praises go up, not only will do blessings come down, but the blesser comes down.
So, let me hurry on. So if you're going to overcome the silence of heaven, you've got to decide to give the Father worship. But once you've made a decision to give the Father worship, second, if you're going to overcome the silence of heaven, the second thing you got to do is this. Don't let folk determine your worth. Don't let folks determine your worth. Look what he says, in verse number 4 and 5, our fathers trusted you. They trusted you delivered them. They cried. They got delivered. They trusted you. They were not confounded. You know, other folk, they trusted you. They got blessed. But look what he says in verse number 6. But I am a worm. As a matter of fact, not only does he call himself an animal, he says, I'm not even a man. David is so confused that he voluntarily relinquishes his own manhood. Now, normally, the manhood is something that an ordinary man would fight for if he ain't got nothing. Come on, help me hear somebody. I mean, when a man is so proud, sometimes we hold on to manhood if we ain't got nothing else. But David says, I'm a word. I'm not even a man. And I want to know, David, why do you call yourself a word? Why do you relinquish your own manhood? He says in verse 6, I'm a reproach of men. I'm despised of the people. Verse 7, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out of the lip. They shake their heads, saying, he trusts in the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing that he delighteth in him. He says, you know why I fear I'm a worm? You know why I fear I'm not a man? He's saying, because I'm so messed up. It is, and people are laughing at me. He says, folk are talking about me. They're putting me down. They're shooting out of the lip, talking about, oh, he's supposed to be a Christian. He's supposed to trust in God. He's supposed to believe. Look at him now. So when David heard what the folk said about him,
come on, do it.
In response to what people said, now he said about himself, I'm a worm. I'm not a man. Let me say something to you. When heaven is silent, let me help you here. Don't ever view yourself through the lenses of others.
Come on here. Teach it.
And part of the problem around this church today is a lot of us base our value and our worth upon others' estimation.
All right.
But one of the greatest things you can be delivered from after you've been delivered from sin is when you're delivered from the disease to please.
All right. Yes, sir. What did he do?
And you understand that your destiny is not tied into other people's understanding and estimation of your worth. And so you've got to get the strength to say, I may be jacked up, heaven may be silent, but I thank God that I'm not what folks say I am.
All right.
Help me, Holy Ghost. When you look real down deep and say, God, I know what they're saying. I know they're talking, but I'm so glad that I am what you say I am. They say I'm jacked up. They say I'm nothing. They say I'm tore up from the flow up. But you say I'm an heir. You say I'm a joint heir. You say I'm a holy nation. You say I'm a royal priesthood. You say I'm a peculiar people. You say I'm a Christian. You say I'm your child. You say I'm the head. You say I'm not the tail. You say I'm blessed in the city. You say I'm blessed in the field. You say I live on top and not the bottom. Is there anybody around this house? Thank God that I'm not what other people say I am, but I am what God said I am. Because in life, no matter what you do, somebody's gonna have something to say.
Yes, sir. Eat it.
Especially in the church. Nobody can be more cruel than church folk. I thank God. God has let me develop some thick skin. And now I know who determines my worth and my value. And that's not people. So you do what God has called you to do. Help me hear somebody. Sometimes when you're in the church and you see the church growing, people say, we got too many people in the church. But if nobody joined, they say, you ain't doing nothing. Feel me here. Huh? When you're single, they say you ought to get married. When you get married, they say you're married to wrong somebody. Don't have no kids. They say you're not family oriented. Get 3 or 4 kids. They say you got too many. Y'all ain't feeling me here. Wear old suit. They say you're raggedy. Buy a new suit. They say you're flamboyant. Drive an old car. They say you represent us wrong. Buy a new car. They say you're stealing the church's money. You just can't satisfy people.
Oh, yeah.
But is there anybody around this house? Learn to thank God that you are what God says you are. Why don't you shake somebody's hand and say, neighbor, maybe you don't like it when people get loud in church, but if that's your problem, go get you another seat. I didn't ask you to sit by me in the first place, so I will bless the Lord. Oh! At all times, somebody say, ah!
Yes.
Don't let other folk determine your worth. If you're going to overcome the status of heaven, number one, decide to give the Father worship. Number two, don't let other people, the other folk, determine your worth. But third, if you're going to overcome the signs of heaven, once you've decided to give the Father worship, once you understand that you don't let folk determine your worth, thirdly, determine who has favored you the whole way. I said, determine who has favored you the whole way. I don't get it,
all
dude.
Right.
It's right here in the text. Look what he said right here in verse number 7, in verse 8. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord. That the Lord would deliver him. Let the Lord deliver him now, seeing that David delighted in him. He said, but know what I did? Verse number 9. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. You are the one who gave me some hope when my mama was feeding me. He said, you know my problem? I kept looking at what they were saying. And I lost my manhood. I considered myself to be an animal because of their mockery and their laughing. But then I thought about it. After I relinquished my manhood and thought about what they were saying, you know what I did? I looked back and I said, you know what? When my daughter Jesse and my mama came together, that night, Luther Vandross was playing at One Tweezy on Bethlehem Boulevard. My daddy got a babysitter for my older brothers and took my mama out to dinner that night. He said to my wife, baby, he said to my mama, baby, would you have an objection if a man of my complexion came in your direction and offered to be your protection? Y'all ain't feeling me here.
Come on here.
Y'all will help me preach here. My mama and my daddy came together and that night. They produced and conceived me. Y'all ain't feeling me here. Between their union, it formed a zygote. The zygote became an embryo. The embryo became a fetus. I went to the first, second, and third trimesters. And then God gave me a prenatal connection. But you know what I thought about while the people were laughing and while the people were talking? I looked back over my life and I said to myself, why am I worried about what they are saying? Because it was you that kept me in my mama's womb. It was you that gave me hope when my mama was breastfeeding me. So what I'm going to start doing is looking back over the past chapter of my life. Before the haters came along, I had you. Before the critics came along, I had the Creator. Before the jealousy came along, I had Jehovah. You've been with me all the way. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to look back over the past chapter of my life and say to myself, it's been you all the way, nobody but you and me. So I'm not concerned about what they're saying, because they didn't bring me, they did. didn't keep me. They didn't watch over me. They didn't wake me up this morning. Do I have a witness in here? And the next time somebody looks at you funny, when you go up in praise, tell them, if you don't know my story, don't criticize my praise. Where were you when I was catching hell? Where were you when I was down to my last dime? I ain't shouting for you. I ain't trying to be seen. I ain't trying to impress you. But I recognize it was nobody but the Lord who brought me all the way. Somebody shout, ow! 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 Somebody shout, ow!
Yes! Hallelujah.
Tell somebody, this ain't for you, this ain't for you, this ain't for you, this ain't for you, this ain't. But it's to give him glory. It's to give him honor. He's worthy. Worthy.
And so David, David said, if you're going to overcome the silence of heaven, number one, you got to decide to give the Father worship. And then once you've made that decision to give the Father worship, David says, don't let folk determine your worth. Thirdly, David says, if you're going to overcome the silence of heaven, you've got to determine who's favored you the whole way. That's why the old deacon was saying, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for my journey. Why? Because you brought me. I said you brought me. You brought me from a mighty long way. My granddaddy was saying, Lord, you brought me from the rocking of my cradle. For you brought me from a mighty long way. Do I have a witness in here? Once you've decided to give the Father worship, once you don't let folk determine your worth, once you determine who gives you favor the whole way. Fourthly, David says, if you're going to overcome the silence of heaven, you've got to declare that you'll speak a word. You got to declare that you'll faithfully speak a word. What do you mean, do it? David said in verse 19, be not thou far from me, my Lord and my strength. He says, hurry up, Lord, to give me some help. He says, deliver my soul from the sword. Deliver my darling from the power of the dog. And save me from the mouth of the lions. And you've heard me from the unicorn's horns. And I heard David saying that if you would deliver me, and if you will be close to me, oh Lord, if you will hurry on up to help me and deliver my soul from the sword. Look at verse 22. And David saying, I promise, and that I will declare your name unto my brethren. Yeah. In the midst of the congregation, will I give your name the praise? Do I have a witness in here? David says that when you make up your mind to deliver me, help me, Holy Ghost, to preach your word. When you hurry on up to help me, and when I cast my cares on you, because you still care for me, and I promise you, Lord, that when you bring me out, I'll declare your name before the whole congregation. He says, now I used to be scared of the crowd. I used to be offended because of the folk. But once you bring me salvation, I'll go back into the same place before the same people who call me everything but a child of God. And soon as I get in the church, I'm going to act a plumb fool in worship. Soon as you bring me out, Lord, I'm going to give your name the praise. Is there anybody in the room today expecting God to open up the heavens? Is there anybody here promised the Lord that when the Lord brings you some deliverance, that you're not going to be sedated, bourgeois, and dignified, but when the Lord brings you your deliverance, you're going to praise his name before the congregation? Do I have a witness in here? Why don't you look at a neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm looking for God to open up the heavens. Say, neighbor, I've been praying for one or two things. And say, neighbor, when you see me run around this church one Sunday or one Wednesday, you'll know I got my answer. I'm going to declare his name before the whole congregation. Is there anybody here who's looking for God to do a miracle? Is there anybody here looking for God to bring you some breakthrough? Why don't you lift your hand and say, Lord, I'm ready to declare your name before greater travels rest. I don't care if I got a new outfit on. I don't care if I have a new makeup. I don't care if I got new clothes on. But when you give me my deliverance, I'll tell the whole world, if it had not been for your mercy and your grace, if it had not been for you watching all over me, is there anybody here who still believes the Lord will make a way out of no way? Touch two people, say he's gonna do it for you, he's gonna do it for me. Do I have a witness? I look back at him and say, neighbor, I'm next in line for a miracle. Say, neighbor, while on others thou art calling, he's not gonna pass me by. I'm gonna bless his name throughout the season ages. As a matter of fact, I will bless the Lord at all times. Is there anybody here who's looking for God to heal you of cancer? Let me see you wave your hand. Somebody got prostate cancer. Let me see you wave your hand. Is there anybody here looking for a new job? Wave your hand. Is there anybody here praying for a child to get their business in order? Wave your hand. Is there anybody here looking for a new job, making more money? Wave your hand. Is there any college student here looking for God to get you through in 4 years? Wave your hand. Now, if you believe it, you ought not wait until the valley is over. You ought to go ahead, give him glory while you got a chance. Don't wait until tomorrow, but go ahead.
he's worthy to be praised. I say he's worthy of the glory. He's worthy of the honor. Say yeah. Say yeah. I gotta take my seat, but shake two hands. Say, get ready, get ready, get ready. Say, I'm going to bust out in praise, because he's going to give me deliverance. Do you believe the best is yet to come? I said, do you believe he's able? Say yeah. Say yeah. Tell somebody, watch me get my miracle. Say, neighbor, do me a favor. Clear my breakthrough is on the way. Clear my miracle is on the way. Yeah.
more than just a radio. This is Jesus in the Morning Radio, spreading the good news of Jesus.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, Miss Karen Clark, Shear and Baum in Gilead. God is great, hallelujah, and he will bless us. I looked at this scripture, I looked at the verse 24. Thank you, Brother Lewis. For he has not despised nor harbored the affection of the afflicted, neither has he hid his face from him. But when he cried unto him, he heard. My praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. Hallelujah. We got to go to the word. Yeah. And the word will work it out for us. The studio is open. If there's anyone have something they would like to say, please feel free to press that number one this morning to come in. All right, 706. Good morning, Brother D. God bless you this morning. So good to see that number. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, good to see it. Good to see it this morning. Praying all is well with you over there, brother, and all is well with the family and my baby girl over there. Pray all is well. All is well. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, today we do. We have to, I heard him say, when heaven is silent, what you do? You pray the prayer of faith. You honored all that the scriptures told you to do concerning prayer. It say you can pray for this if you believe this. But when heaven is silent, what do you do? He said you worship. He said you worship the Father. Hallelujah. We yet go on in Jesus. We go on in him. Because even if we die, it says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So death is no big thing. Huh? We yet give God the praise. We yet worship him in spirit and in truth. We yet give him glory. We yet give him honor. I can't help what come my way. I know from looking in my past what he's done for me. If he did it back then, he'll do it today. It may be a different thing, but he's still the same God with the same power, all power. Then he told us, don't let people tell you what you are, in other words. Don't let people dictate your future. I told you about after I had got the new car in Birmingham. Before I got the new car, they was calling me a Bible thumper, Bible beater, holy roly, laughing, and everything else. I prayed the prayer of faith. I said, Lord, show people why I love you, especially this group over here. Because they would sit on their porch, and when I walked by, they would laugh and snicker and say things. I said, Lord, show them why I love you so much. And I went on about my business. Here I come with the brand new car. I was barely home. You know, they saw the car, but they couldn't see me no more because I was gone then, minding my own business. Hallelujah. So they come one day and wanted me to come over. The group that sit on the porch and laugh wanted to talk to me. And we're in Alabama. And if you know anything about Georgia, Alabama, they say, girl. Girl, how you get that car? I said, I prayed. The Lord heard my prayer and he blessed me. Girl, how can I get that one? I said, hold your hands out. I may have been wrong for that Fiat. I said, y'all hold your hands out. They had the hand open, the palms face up, and I prayed a prayer with them. And after I prayed the prayer, I walked on off. Yeah. He showed, I said, and this is why I love him, because he can do stuff like this. He can give me my heart desires. I said, and I didn't just want the car because it had the spoil on the back. I said, I didn't want the car just to show off. I needed a way to and from church. I need a way to and from to go down to the employment office and help somebody. I wasn't working when I got the car now. I said, I need a way to go and see about somebody that's sick or somebody don't have no food or something. I said, that's why I wanted the car. I just wanted a car, and he gave me a brand new one. And then I walked on off. I left on, you know, from over there. But they got to see. Y'all laughing and catching the bus. Y'all laughing and walking. And then I had a whole brand new wardrobe. Remember I told you in Birmingham, Alabama, Simply Fashion back then during the 90s, they had a wholesale warehouse there. And what you bought in the store for $5, you get it at the wholesale warehouse for $2, $1.50, $3. Some things may have been a little irregular, you know, the pants one leg longer than the other. But if you knew a little bit about sewing, you could take it home and hem it for a dollar. So I was all dressed nice every day now, new car. Brother Snipes was keeping my hair up. Yeah. God had blessed me. Hate on haters, laugh on, keep laughing. And I would just keep loving you and keep praying. And God would continue to bless Barbara. It's all right today. And you know, people are not always going to agree with you. Yeah. People, see, because like I said, your relationship with God is different than mine. What I know about him, not what the preacher told me, not what I read in somebody else's book per se, but what I read in the scriptures, and according to my experience, I share it with you. Yeah, and I'm done. I mean, you got to go behind me anyway, you should, and get in that word for yourself. Get in that prayer closet for yourself. Don't rely on just no one, anybody. I don't care what the pastor say. I love that Bishop Carl Doles and Pastor Jackie Doles. But whatever he taught, when I got home, I would be eating my Sunday dinner and looking them scriptures up. You better know it. And somebody said, well, why you do that? You're a seasoned Christian. Seasoned? It don't have nothing to do with season. It have to do with making my calling and election sure with God. Because there's so much stuff out here. And see, people, everybody believe they can be a Christian because they say Jesus. But my thing is, are you walking daily according to his word? Not what you feel, not what you think. It's nothing about your flesh. It's about the spirit. And many times you're not going to feel anything. Walking by faith, you don't see nothing, you don't feel nothing. You just believe and keep going. And do it taught us this morning, go on and worship. It appear heaven is silent to you, go on and worship him. Remember I told you about the woman with the issue of blood? Jesus wasn't coming to heal her. He had just finished raising somebody from the dead, and I believe he was on his way to raise somebody else. They hadn't told him yet, but he was on his way to raise somebody else. She touched him. He didn't touch her. Sometimes we got to touch God and stop sitting back waiting on him to do everything. Touch us. Bring us. Go on in that secret closet. Stay there until you hear something. Jacob said Raph said he wasn't going to turn him loose until he blessed him. Get in that secret closet and don't come out until he bless you. And when you pray in there from a sincere heart, don't get up off your knees so quick. After prayer, begin to praise. You're going to hear something. He's going to put something in your spirit real strong. You're going to know it's him. Sometimes God done gave the answer, but people don't know it. Because what he spoke after prayer, they didn't pay no attention to it. Oh, okay. And they kept going, and they still in the same shape or worse. Hallelujah. All right, Jerry, I'm coming at you right now, sister. Good morning. God bless you, Jerry. How are you?
Good morning. God bless you, Evangelist Barbara. How are you doing?
I'm blessed. I cannot complain.
I can't either. I had to sit here and say, why do God love such sinners as us? Why? Hearing you talk about the people laughing and snickering at you, walking past them, and still took time and prayer. I had a godmother, and I said, her husband brings his girlfriend to you to pray for her? She said, yes, God wants you to pray. I said, ooh, God going to have to work on me. She said, don't worry, Gary. He's working on you every day. He got you coming to my house right now. I'm like, oh, Lord. But then I remember, as my mama said growing up, pray for those that does not know how to pray for themselves. That was her theory to us. Pray. When you don't know nothing else to do, pray. I used to be jealous looking at my ex-husband. He gets away with everything, and he don't have to do this and this and this and this and that. Stop worrying about what it looked like, because it's not what it looked like. You don't know what kind of suffering that man going through. You don't know why he's drinking. What you need to do is pray. And when you prayed and done all you can do, pray some more. I miss talking to my mom, because I would call and say, Mom, today, as you know, she said, don't start out the conversation like that. Say, Mom, today I need to thank God because I'm still breathing. Mom, I look out and I see the birds flying around. They're not caring about anything. If God gonna take care of the birds, why will he not take care of you, Jerry? Your life is better than what you know. All you can do is tell God about what you see. How about telling God, Father God, I love you. I love you because you breathe on me. You allow life in my body. God, you give me strength. And Lord God, you keep me from harm's way. Oh, Father God, keep me. Keep me near and nearer to you. As we used to sing this song, down at the cross. Take me back, Lord, to the place where I found you. Help me to remember that all things are possible with God. Not all things are possible with men, but all things are possible with God. He's a God that won't leave nor forsake you. He's a God that says, fear not. Just use your mustard seed faith, and I promise you it's going to be all right. Quit my job. This boss didn't fire me. I lied and said I got fired. But Mama prayed me back into the same job with a different name, and at the end of the journey, I wind up with the same amount of years I'd have had if I'd have stayed at that one job. They had to grandfather me in from the job I was on and the job I quit. I am blessed. Even when I didn't have much, God always blessed us, because the key word Mama said, if you believe and trust God, he will bring it to you in his time, not yours. Because, Jerry, I promise you what you're asking him for, you're not going to want it when you realize what it is. Oh, Mama, I really want him. I want him to be my husband. Oh, God. She says, stop praying for foolishness. How about praying for strength? How about praying for knowledge? And in the old days, they used to say hope instead of help. And hope, God does what he said he was going to do for you. Mom, why you say hope instead of help? She said, because with hope, and faith is how God bring it to pass. I know I'm not saying help. I'm hoping God hear me. And I'm hoping that he takes care of all of my children when I'm long gone. To this day, God is still taking care of her children. One has died, but my brother and I, as we say to each other, we are so blessed, Michael. Yeah, Jerry, we are. We've come from a mighty long ways. We came from sitting in the living room and could see outside with big holes in the wall. We came from learning how to kill mice and rats. We came from running from the rotary problems in the house. But what we really came into is the love of Christ. Mommy showed us how to pray. Because when you pray, all things that God has for you will come to pass. It might not come when you want it, but he'll come on time because he's an on-time God. He didn't come when Mama had cancer and cure her, no. But he allowed us to pretend like in the month of May it was Christmas. He allowed us to have giving in June. He allowed us to pray Mama through because Mama said, all my children going to heaven. She grabbed us by our hand and she said, baby, it's time for me to go on. And we like, no, Mama, don't leave us. She said, where I'm going, there won't be no more worrying. And if I've done my job right, you all are going to be all right. Mama didn't live to see Ralph die. But Ralph lived to see Mama die. And after that, Ralph died. When Mama prayed, Ralph didn't never have to worry about rent, lights, water, phone. He didn't have nothing to worry about, not even how to raise his children. He said, sis, Mama said you will help me. I will help you. What you need? I got a baby coming. Oh, my God. Okay, I got to do what I got to do. No, sis, don't put him in the foster care. Will you raise him for me? Just like you did your son, and when he turned 18, let him go. I raised him, and when he did turn 18, just like he asked, Al went off to college. I still have Calvin, but I'm sure God is working something out for him. So I say, let's not take for granted the breath of life we have in our body from God. Let's tell him, thank you, God. Thank you that I didn't know how to pray when I was young. I knew how to play church, not really worship church. But as I come on this morning show every morning, I learn some unique things about God. I learn that victory is mine. Tell Satan, get ye behind me, because victory is mine. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I don't know no one that says, I only have one son and you want me to do what, Lord? No, we too selfish to do that, but not God. Lord, keep me blessed. Keep me on my knees. Let me stay there so I'll learn that pressed down, shaken together, blessings running over. Teach me that. All I got to do is walk into your favor, walk into your word, and all things are possible for those that love the Lord. Man can't do what God do. Man alive say, oh, call me anytime, anytime. Just call me. I'm there for you. You pick up the phone and call him. Oh, God, this is not a good day. I wish you'd have called me last week and told me. Well, I didn't have the problem last week. You told me to go, okay, I understand. But do I really understand? Because God say, I'm here for you 24-7, 365 and 366 days a year. So I thank God for being with me all of my life. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Keep me near the cross, Lord God. Thank you, God. Keep me wrapped in your arms that I would know that no man can do me like Jesus. Man will tell me one thing in my ear at night, and in the morning he'll forget what he said. God will make me a promise, and he will not lie. He will keep the promise to me, for me. So I say to you, Jesus, keep me near the cross. Don't allow man to take advantage of me. And, Lord, if I come against you, bring me to my knees and I repent. For you, God, is my Savior. Please keep me in your arms.
Amen.
This is my prayer, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You see, I say that pillow talk is something serious, and it is that. When you lay down even, and you're getting ready to go to sleep, you know, you're in bed, and maybe you turn the TV off, you know, because you're going to turn on over and try to get you some sleep. That pillow talk. It's something serious. Yes, it is. I agree 100%, Sion, because you can lay there and talk to the Lord about anything you need to talk to him about. Yeah. The things that Jerry said her mama taught her, she didn't forget. A lot of things my parents taught me, I didn't forget. Yeah. It's carrying me on until this day. The prayer that my grandmother prayed in 1925 is carrying me on until this day, just like she said for her. Prayer is a powerful weapon. And again, many times we may not hear from heaven. We need to take self-inventory. Am I praying amiss? Am I praying a selfish prayer? Am I praying according to all that my flesh wants? This is not spiritual. When I asked for a truck, I prayed because I would give people a ride. I already had that 2010, giving people a ride anywhere. I would be running the cafe and the convenience store, and people would call me and say, hey, Barbara, I know you're working, but I don't have no way from the hospital. Can you please pick me up? And you can just drop me off on the corner, and I'll make it from there. I would turn everything off I could in the store, lock it up, jump in my truck, run and get them from the hospital. No dropping you off on the corner. Take them to the door. And sometimes they was crippled, depending on what, you know, was wrong. And I would have to wait until they get out of the truck, you know, and get away from the truck, then I could drive off and go back. But I didn't make it a rush situation with them. Because we got to remember these things. Faith and work go together. See, because many times we just want God to give us, gimme, but we're not going to do no work unto him, for him. We're not going to work. All we want is for God to keep giving it up. The more he give, the more we want. Yeah, that's the way we are. Because, see, that's the way we treat people. We don't know what people go through to bless us, and we don't care. Just give it here. Just gimme. And he said faith and works go together. See, because faith without works is dead. You're not going to get nothing. And many times people think it's the work, going to a job or going to do this. No, he's talking about the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray that the Lord of the harvest will send more laborers. He called you for something, and you need to find out what it is so you can work unto God. Listen. Do you think God brought me out of that hilltop project, low-income government, the Wild Wild West? It was worse than the Wild Wild West in my book. Do you think he brought me out of there because I was in the house scared, just praying? Do you think he allowed me to walk through there and go anywhere I wanted to go and never be concerned about nobody doing nothing to Barb? Because all I did was just pray I had to work. And it wasn't the work where I punch a time clock and on Friday I was going to get a paycheck. He paid me. He gave me benefits. Look, I would do Jesus in the morning. And back then I was doing it 7 to 9. Come off, walk up the sidewalk because somebody needs. Go to the mailbox, somebody needs. Go to the rent office, somebody was in need. Come back, somebody knocking on the door. Hey, Miss Mac, we ate today because we ain't got no food. You got anything in there? Sometimes people would come from that walk from downtown all the way over there so they could eat. But do you see what he did for me? Faith and work go together. Trust in God and work go together. Not punching nobody's clock, but punching the clock of Almighty God spiritually. And another thing, get your life right with God, please. Don't think you right with him and you still cussing. Don't think you right with him when you still dressing provocatively. Don't think you right with him when you still getting drunk and smoking weed. Don't think you right with him when you still fornicating. You can get it together. You can get in a place with God where when you call on him, what? Barbara calling. He come right now. I pray that I put a satisfying smile on his face. It don't matter about my face. Lord, let me put a satisfying smile on your face. When you hear my name, let it please you. Because, see, we got too much plan going on out here now. They done taught the people you can do what is your thing. You can do what you want to do and you're still going to heaven. The devil is a fool and a liar and will make a fool and a liar out of you. You ain't got to go to church all the time. You can still club a little bit. You can't club at all. He said, come out from among them and be separated. You can't hang with unsaved folk. Birds of a feather will flock together. Association bring on simulation. You want to hang with those who are stronger in the spirit than you are because you want to be drawn closer to God. What are your prayers? What kind of prayers you praying? Are you praying that, Lord, use me in your service to bless your people? Lord, are you praying, Lord, show me what you brought me forth out of my mother's womb for? Because before I entered her womb, you knew me, and you already had a purpose and a plan for me. I don't know what it is, but God, I need to know right now. And whatever it is, show me the way to get it done. Some of y'all already doing it, don't even know it. Some of y'all doing it on your job and getting paid for it and don't even know it because you never went to him to find out exactly what it was. Look what James said. Y'all know I love him. Over in James 1 and chapter 4. But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If you like wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. Read the book of James when you get a chance. All five chapters, four chapters, whatever it is, read it when you get a chance. Because what it's going to do is teach you some serious stuff. He even teaching you that if you say you're a believer and you're not doing these things that he said, you're deceiving your own self. He going to bless you over there. Oh, yes. I got a request, and I want to play this for Sister Yvonne Jones this morning. I'm so happy to see her and happy that she's tuning in and everything this morning. I thank God for her. Thank God that she called me and we had a lot of talks and everything. And that's me and Jerry. That's Jerry right there. Jerry going to call me and we going to talk. Yes, Lord, about the goodness of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I thank God this morning. I want to play this one for you, Sister Yvonne. This is one of my favorites because this is me right here. Yeah, I had to pray all about this kind of thing right here and get it right with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
It was meant to kill me, sin to destroy me. And I thought that it would, and I thought that it should. Cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, let me go, let me go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go. And you wouldn't let me go, go. But you held on to me, and you wouldn't let me go. And you wouldn't let me go, go. And what the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. What the enemy meant for evil, God has worked it out for my good. Yeah. It was meant to kill me, sent to destroy me. Yep. And I thought that I thought that it should. Cause I messed up so many times, I went left when you said right. I'll understand if you wanna let me go, 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 go.
Out. I had messed up myself many times. God would say, go right, I went left. And I'm thinking, you know, I done messed up, all this stuff against me. Okay, you're going to take me out of here. I understand you're going to leave me. Nope. He didn't leave me. He held on to me. He kept me and made my life better. We just got to let go and let God today. Let go and let God. I'm a living witness. He's the kind that he can fix any and everything. No matter, I don't care what it is today. I don't care who did it, what weapon that has been formed, because it's only a form against you. He didn't say it wouldn't form, but it won't grow no better, no bigger. And it won't stop you from doing nothing that you need to do, I promise you. It's like a temporary pit stop. That's all it is. It's temporary. Yeah. It's temporary to try and see if he can make it permanent. If you believe his report is going to become permanently. But we're not going to believe the report of the devil. We are going to believe the report of the Lord because victory is ours. I can't help what come your way. You're a winner. You have the winning God. You have the God that have the last word, not on some things, but on everything, if you can but have faith and trust him and keep walking in him. Take self-inventory. Yeah. And search you and see, Lord, am I out of place? God, am I doing something I shouldn't be doing? Am I speaking wrong? What am I doing? Because whatever we speak out of our mouth, I don't care what you see and hear, that's what you're going to have. Yeah, listen. Before I fully come to the Lord, I was out there doing wrong. You hear me? I was out there getting people money from their bank. And I would speak, they're not going to do nothing to me. They're not going to do nothing to me. I would go to court and they would send me home. Go pay them checks and don't come back. I'll be back when I can because I'm going back and I'm going to do some more. But whatever we say out of our mouth, that's what we're going to have. I told you I was speaking life over here. Life for house repairs. Life for this. Life for that. L-I-F-E. Life for this. It started manifesting. And some stuff was coming so fast. I had to slow it down. Yeah, I was wide open. The Lord said, on me, be of good courage. I'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Because I was moving, honey. I was getting it done. But he got a purpose and a plan. And I want to tell y'all, I want to tell you today, if you can but wait on God, believe and trust him. I don't care what you see. Did you not see he parted the Red Sea for the Israelites to get across there? Do you see that the Red Sea was in front of them? They could not swim in that much water, and they could not drink that much water. And when they looked behind them, Pharaoh was fastly approaching with his army. Did they have faith and trust in God? No. They went to crying to Moses. You done brought us out here to kill us. I knew not to follow you. I told my wife we shouldn't follow him out here. She said, come on, let's go. I think it's time. Foolishness. Moses, God told Moses, stand still. Because you're going to see my salvation. Hey, I got the last word on everything. I've been in some situations that nobody could turn it around. No human being could fix it. Only God could. And when I trusted him, when I believed, it come to pass. He came right in and fixed it. He didn't always fix it on the day I wanted it fixed. But the end result was I was a winner. The end result said, Barbara, have victory. It's victory in Jesus. It's not victory in your flesh. It's not victory in your personal thoughts, your fleshly thoughts. No victory in that. It's in Jesus. It's in his word. It's in applying his word to your life. It's in working unto him. Faith and work go together. How many people you telling in the run of a day God is? We know COVID-19 is out here, and nobody's running around like a squirrely bird to other people's house and all of that. But how many times you pick the phone up like Brother Frank and call somebody and tell them God is? Who have you checked on that's a stranger that you know? Hey, how you doing? I just called you today. I felt led to call you and just remind you God is. Anything that you need him to be, whatever you want to say, talk of his wondrous works, make known his deeds among the people. Lift him up in praise and worship. Lift him up in glorifying him. He will draw somebody unto him. But see, our minds are not on his work. Our minds are not on the harvest. Our minds are on what we want. The lawn, landscape redone. The floors in here, the pond out back, the pool pump, the roof, the lanai, the this. Is this where our minds are on the things that we want done, on our desires? Because our minds should be on Jesus. He's going to keep us in perfect peace. And if we'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, these things will be added. You heard, do it, repeat all the scriptures. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Pray without ceasing. Man ought to always pray and not faint. He said heaven was silent. And that you worship. I say you get in that word and practice the word of God. Put the word of God into practice. Apply it to your everyday life. Perfect practice makes perfect. Go on and do it. Because he's not silent to us today. Do it say he was silent for 400 years? He's not silent to us today. He's hearing today, and he's answering. But he's hearing who believe. He's not hearing those that speaking out of their natural, out of their flesh. He's hearing those that speaking out of the spirit. Lord, I know you're able. You made the heavens and the earth. God, you own every car lot. You own every finance company. You own every mortgage company. You own every hospital. You own every doctor's office. They say, I got cancer. Lord, what do your reports say? Because I'm believing your report today. I'm not going to believe my own, because my report wants me to be fearful. But you didn't give me the spirit of fear. You gave me power, love, and a sound mind. And even if cancer take me out, even if I die, I'm yours and you're mine. To be absent, I want to scream right there. Hey, glory. I thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. To be absent from this old body is to be present with the Lord. But we got to mean that thing. We got to get in his word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. We got to wrap our minds around the word and wrap the word around our mind and in our heart and walk accordingly. Stop letting the devil run you. Stop letting your flesh tell you what it is. Let the Spirit of God rule and abide for you today. He didn't hang out on Calvary so you could be defeated. He hung out there because he knew you would be a winner. He knew you would be victorious if you could but obey. If you can keep the faith. Keep trust in him. Speak to the mountain. Speak to that situation and let it know, not today and no other day. I know you're trying to stop me from getting what I'm supposed to have, but not today and no other day. I bind you up and cast you back to the pits of hell. That's what I do for you. And Father, I ask that you would come in, God, and that you would rebuke the devourer for my sake. Rebuke it, God. Send it back to the pits of hell. But once God speaks to it, it's gone. It's got to move. It's no longer a hindrance, because that's what it's coming to try to be, a hindrance unto a winner. No way. I won up before I fought the battle. I was already a winner. Well, how is that? I got to win in God. I got to God with all power. Get in that word and mean it, please. Get in your prayer closet and mean what you tell God. And don't look at the situation. Speak to the situation. You got to go. Coming to foreclose on my house? I don't think so. God gave it to me, and nobody can take it away. What God gave me, no man can take it away. I bind that up in Jesus' name. And you'll get to see right at the darkest hour the money will show up. God, look here, an unexpected blessing will hit your mailbox. An unexpected blessing will hit your bank account. Don't tell me what he can't do. He's done it for me. He's no respected person. I'm no better than nobody else. He'll do it for you. I love talking about going back, talking about that project experience. When I rolled up in there, I was driving a 1998 Ford Contour just as happy. Ooh, if you'd have did something to that car, I may have done something to you because that was the Silver Soldier. It was important. I just don't understand. It was all I had, I thought. And me and the people that I was giving rides to in the Silver Soldier, oh, honey, we sat up in there proud like we was riding in a limousine. Oh, we rode in it proudly like we was in a Hummer. What? Yes, sir. And guess what? I continued to work. I continued to pray. A friend of mine came and told me, she said, it was a doctor, Shantae doctor. She said, I had a dream about you. And I dreamed you was riding some kind of funny looking truck. Well, Louis, you know during that time I wanted that, what's the name of it, Louis? I think Honda made it. Element. I wanted that Element because, see, you could turn the water hose in there, wash the whole inside and everything. Oh, I wanted that Honda. So she said, I see you driving a funny-looking car. I said, well, I'm going to send you a picture of it. Give me your email. I gave her the email and sent her a picture of the car. She said, no, that's not it. I thought to myself, what? This is it. This is what I want. She said, no, that's not what was in the dream. What was in the dream, y'all, was that Toyota RAV4. That's what was in that dream. It wasn't no Element because they stopped making them. You see? Another spiritual daughter comes. She said, I saw you riding in a small SUV. I was sitting on the wall. And sitting on the wall, she said, you come riding by, waved at me and everything. I said, I didn't give you no ride. She said, no, you didn't give me no ride. It was that Ford Contour. I was not going to give up that 98 Honda RAV4. I was not going to give up that 98 Ford Contour. It was paid for. All I did was keep it serviced and pay the insurance on it, and you want me to give it up? I don't think so. I'm going to take a lady to look at a house because they evicted her on a Sunday. And we had rolled around a little bit and looked, and we were going to look at a couple of more houses that was for rent. And going down the street, that Ford Contour just shut down. I'm going down the street giving it gas, and it's not moving. It's slowing down. I said, something wrong with this. Well, when I get on down the street, she completely stopped. So, well, slowed, real, real slowed. I wheeled it over to the side of the road and got it out the street and sat there in awe. A lady across the street, white lady, was on her porch, and it was hot in the summer when this happened. She came over there. She said, I brought y'all some ice water. I know it's hot. Your car done stopped. I said, yeah. I said, let me see what I'm going to do. I called my daughter. I called AAA or somebody, whoever I had, to come and take it around there to the Tire Plus. And they took it around, and the man called me back and told me that my baby had died. I'm a clown. I said, oh, no, my baby ain't dead. I said, and if she dead, you're going to resurrect her. He said, Miss Mike, we can't resurrect the baby. I said, oh, yeah, you're going to have to resurrect her. He said, I tell you what, I can't resurrect. If you got $3,000, oh, no, I don't have it. I said, well, I guess I am going to have to go get another baby. He said, yeah, you're going to have another one. They brought my car to the house. in my pocket space in Hilltop Village, the project, and dropped it right there. I couldn't even look for a week because in my heart, y'all, I was hurt over that 98 Ford Contour. I was hurt over that Silver Soldier. I got pictures of it right now. That Friday come. Now, this happened that Sunday, that Friday come. And like around that Wednesday, I had said, you're not even looking for another car. You got to have a car. Oh, I brushed it off. I ain't got nowhere to go. If I do, I'll call somebody to come take me. That was going to get old really quick. When that Friday come, I was doing some work on the computer, and that night, an email popped up. And listen to this. I have all my pop-ups silenced. You don't pop up on my computer. The email popped up and said, do you need a car? Apply right here. I said, let me try this. I'll apply. I went on to bed that Friday night. Saturday morning, when I get up and finish breakfast and whatever I'm going to do, I go online. My grandbaby, Cobrisha, was with me, so, you know, I have to give her the big breakfast. So I go online, and there's the email. And then the man called me and get information from me. I said, well, listen, can I do this online and not come out to the car lot? I don't want to be rejected. He said, oh, yeah, you can do this right here online, no problem. I gave him the information. He said, thank you, I have someone to call you back in an hour. I was like, okay. So he had this black woman, Cookie, I'll never forget her, to call me back. And I was Mac at the time. She said, Ms. Mac, we found you a cute automobile. She said, we think you'll like it. She said, but I need you to come out to the dealership. I said, well, the man told me I could do everything on the phone. She said, and you did. She said, but Ms. Mac, you can't drive your automobile off the lot over the phone. You have to come out to do that. I was like, she got me. I got my daughter. Same daughter that came and got me when my baby broke down, took me out to the car lot. I wasn't there 45 minutes, and I drove off in a 2010 Toyota RAV4. It was so clean, you thought it was brand new, inside and out. Excellent Michelin tires on it, more than I could ever think I wanted. 2 years later, God gave me another one. I got that one in 2013. In 2015, with no job and nothing else, he gave me a 2015 Toyota RAV4. I told him to pay for it myself, drove it off the lot myself. I got a letter. All I did was took a letter to them, to Ernie Palmer, because that's where the letter said, take it. When I took them the letter, they went to running around bumping into each other like squirrely birds. I don't even know the man who sent me. I know it was a man, but I don't know who he was. But they respected him a whole bunch. You know how you had the signature at the bottom, but you can't make it out because they write fancy or whatever it is. That wasn't the ending of the blessing. I was selling stuff out my house. Brownies, cupcakes, little tiny mini sweet potato pies, chicken and fries, fish and fries. I would go over to the, what's the name of that place, Golden Corral, and get the big fat yeast roll and put it with the chicken or the fish and the fries. And take the money and go shopping with the girls and the boys that I did arts and crafts with on Wednesdays and Thursdays. Well, the women that used to sell stuff out there, they call them the candy lady. I took all the money from them. So what they did is they complained. The lady at the rent office said, well, Ms. Mack, can you stop? I said, yeah, because I'm not living off this. This is not my income to live off. This for the children. A year later, God gave me Jesus in the Morning Confectionery and Cafe. Huh? And while I was working there, he went on and gave me this house. Huh? I'm not telling you what somebody told me or they preached to me or the Sunday school teacher taught me or I heard somebody say it or I read it in a book somewhere. I'm telling you from experience what he did for me. Faith and work, trust in God, goes together. It will get you more than you want, more than you need. Look, it was so, I all I had to do was what I wanted to do. Take people to and from, talk to people, witness, go to the hospital, see somebody. The things I wanted to do, that's what he chose me for, but I didn't know it until I began to seek him, find him, and then obey him. Don't let nobody tell you, oh, no, that you're not getting this. Oh, no, you can't have that. The devil is a fool and a liar. The situation going to look bad, but greater is he that lives within you than he that is in the world. Tell God about it. Mean what you say to him. Stay in your closet, not crying about stuff and things, but crying about you doing his will. Crying about you getting right with him so when he come back, you can go back with him. They say I go with people who are, you know, low in stature and that, you know, I don't do highfalutin. I do what Jesus did. He hung out with publicans and sinners. He hung out with prostitutes and things, the dope boy, you know, that kind of thing. Them the folk that, you know, I basically chase behind. Yeah. Because one thing about them, when they become real with God, it's real. They was true to the dope game. They was true to the hustle. They was true to prostitute. Huh? They're going to be true to God. Some of the smartest people you ever want to see just making the dumbest decisions. That's all. But God got a purpose and a plan for them. Didn't he save me? Didn't he save you? I know some people, well, see, I never been out there. I always been in my mom and daddy's house. But God looking for anybody he can truly use. And those that's coming out the street, he can really use you. Game, no game. Oh, yeah. And it's all right today in Jesus' name. We got about 4 minutes. Is there anyone else? Oh, that got my 708 today. Hey, 708. God bless you. Good morning. Good morning. I miss you a couple of times. I saw you come in there this week, though. But I be looking for my 708 number. Hey, I be looking for my 706 too. Where he went at? Don't you run. Don't you run. Bruh D. Yeah. Good morning, Sister Rita. God bless you. Hey, Bruh Frank. I know you're working over there, but you be awfully quiet. I heard you say a few things yesterday. I'm not complaining, Bruh Frank. But you know I'm used to you coming on in there running it when you can. Yeah. I miss it. That's all I can tell you. Uh-huh. Y'all know I love that Frank. Frank, that's my Frank. Yeah. Hallelujah. So, listen, we're going to pray out, and we pray that the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. And Sister Ellen says she come in one morning and give a powerful testimony, and I want her to come and give it. I really do. So we just got to pray. I'm praying for her that the Lord will open a door that she can come one morning and share of his goodness with us. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for all that has been said and done. We thank you for Pastor E. Dewey Smith. And this morning, wherever he may be, Father, oh, you did? Okay, I'll play it after going out, Yvonne. I'm going to play it again. Father, wherever he may be in his family, bless today in the name of Jesus. Father, as we depart this morning, I ask that you would bless every caller and every listener. Father, move, God, for these your people by your spirit today in the name of Jesus. Those standing in need. Finances, God, those that stand in need of food, housing, whatever they need, Father, we know that you supply need according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Father, help us to worship you. Help us to study your word and pray when we feel heaven is silent. Lord, do it through us and for us in the name of Jesus. We ask this morning that you would bless our going out and our coming in, and again, meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory. By your Son, Christ Jesus, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from another, in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, April the 29th, 2021, in Jesus' name. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye. Have a blessed day. Yvonne, I'm going to send that song to you. I'm going to text it to you. All right. Bye-bye.